The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the midweek version of the Punt Podcast here with William Hill Radio. Dave Kellner here alongside Lee Phelps to look at the Capital One Cup football this midweek. Matches taking place over Tuesday and Wednesday night. And we're going through some of the selected games for this particular podcast. And by selected games, I mean the ones we've picked, basically. There's no rhyme or reason to a lot of these, apart from Lee's obviously going to come up with some good bets for you this midweek. Lee, first of all, just a quick look back at last weekend and some good picks there. Everton versus Arsenal, 2-2 draw with Naismith scoring at any time. Happy with that one?
Yeah, decent, wasn't it? I had to pull something out of the bag, I think, because I've been pretty ropey up until that point. Ramsey as well, to be fair, as well, just to throw that one in there.
Yeah,
and the 12:45 kickoff, Villa Newcastle. Yeah, unders on the goals, draw, blah blah blah. I think Mark also tipped that one up. So yeah, it was all right. Well, Saturday was all right. Sunday wasn't quite as good, to be fair. But then there was the most boring game of the season so far: Sunderland versus Manchester United. Oh my goodness.
We'll start off with that one actually. When we're looking at all these Capital One Cup matches, we'll start off with the live game on Tuesday night, which is MK Dons versus Manchester United. MK Dons 7-1, the draw 7-2, Manchester United 2-5. Let's start with Manchester United, Lee. On the pre-season podcast, I thought Manchester United were going to have a good season. Actually picked them to be runners-up in the league this season. I expected the change to be almost instantaneous with Louis van Gaal coming in for David Moyes. It's not been instantaneous. They look poor, exposed at the back once again at the weekend. Tyler Blackett, Michael Keane came on as well. Not players you would expect to see in a Manchester United team, Lee.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, he doesn't look particularly bothered sat on the sidelines, does he, Van Gaal? It's not like he's there tearing his hair out and doing a kind of Ferguson type thing. Probably a good thing to tear his hair out by the looks of it, to be fair, by the way. You know, he's kind of sat there, he's having a bit of a joke, a bit of a laugh. I think he honestly thinks, you know, look, you know how Mourinho came into Chelsea last year and was all about the transitional season and kind of put no pressure on the players? I think Van Gaal's doing a bit of that, to be fair, because they look... I can't believe how bad they look.
Yeah,
they look worse, if anything, because at the Premier League level, if you watch a 90-minute game between any two sides, you wouldn't get many instances where a player puts the ball clean out of play without any pressure on them or gives it away to the opposition in a dangerous area. You might get one or two in a match, might you? You know, whoever. Man United were doing that quite regularly yesterday. I mean, how do you pass the ball clean out of play with no one near you? I just don't understand that. And the centre, the defensive situation is, it's a joke. I mean, I know they're lacking confidence, but they don't seem to have any idea about positional sense or where they should be. And when they get the ball, they don't seem to want to go forward with it. The lack of confidence in the side is, I think it's staggering. I can't see how they've gone from beating Real Madrid and Liverpool in pre-season and scoring so many goals to suddenly being so bad now. That Swansea game must have hit them for six.
Yeah, I find it amazing that they seem to be willing to play all their football in front of whichever back four it is. So there's no movement in behind. They look static. We've commented on the back three, if you will, the three centre halves. Tyler Blackett coming in, playing alongside Phil Jones and Chris Smalling. Smalling went off injured. Michael Keane came in. He looked ropey at the back as well. Haven't got the personnel to play the system that Louis van Gaal wants to play at the moment. They have signed, or they are on the verge of signing, Angel Di Maria. But still, they need a central midfielder that can go box to box. Arturo Vidal, the obvious one, and someone Louis van Gaal mentioned in his post-match press conference when they were talking about possible signings. And they need another centre half as well. Marcus Royo's going to come in. He's likely to partner Evans and Jones in that three at the back. They do need a couple more signings at the very least, even if Di Maria comes in.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. And it, like you say, it's just not... I mean, you can't... If you get presented with the opportunity to sign someone like Di Maria, you can't turn it down. But by the same token, they obviously need other players as well. I think we'll get on to the MK Dons game in a bit. But I also think Ed Woodward's once again shown his naivety. You know, a couple of weeks ago, he was kind of in the media saying, it might have even been less than that, maybe a week ago, saying, you know, we're prepared to break the bank, you know, and break transfer records if we have to. Real Madrid must have been sat there going, yeah, all right, Di Maria, 75 million. Well, you don't say that. Why would you say that in public? I mean, I don't know if he's trying to do the big I am, but why would you say that? It just makes the other clubs think, okay, yeah, we'll put a ridiculous price tag on. If you're willing to pay that sort of money, add 10 million on then. It's daft. Yeah. It just seems like they've lost all that from the top. And I mean, you know, the top in terms of off the pitch, right down through the club. They just seem to have lost the ability to be the best, if you like. They were the best before everything, and now it just seems to have just disappeared. I'm really surprised at how bad they look and how little kind of passion there is about, you know, the on the pitch. You see, even at the front, like Van Persie, I thought, I mean, maybe he's not quite match fit, but I don't know. Just they're lacking, aren't they? They're lacking a lot of things, and I think maybe confidence is the biggest one. And you know. And MK Dons, I think, will be rubbing their hands together a little bit.
MK Dons, seventh in League One, Lee. 7 points from 4 games. Came through against AFC Wimbledon, that big clash in the first round. Beat them 3-1 to get to this stage in the competition. MK Dons, 7-1. The draw, 7-2. Manchester United in the betting at 2-5. It would take a brave punter, Lee, to stick Manchester United in at 2-5. I suppose they will be popular in the accumulators with... people expecting at some point Louis van Gaal to get the best out of this team. It will be interesting to see how they set up in terms of personnel as well, whether the likes of Javier Hernandez get a run out in this game. Danny Welbeck, rumours that he might be heading north to Newcastle at some point in the not too distant future either. It's an intriguing game, this one, because it's takes a brave man to bat Manchester United at 2-5 at this moment.
You can't do it, I don't think. Even against MK Dons, I don't think you can do it. MK Dons at 7-1. I mean, that's a bit of a stretch as well, thinking that they can actually win there. And the team news we've got as we record this on Monday afternoon is that Smalling's a big doubt, Herrera's a doubt, and Rojo won't have his papers cleared in time. We'll wait and see. Obviously, that's, you know, you need to check that before you place your bets. Just concentrate on MK Dons, because most people will have seen what United have done this season.
Yes.
We've just discussed their inadequacies so far. MK Dons, they've had a nice start to the season. The manager, Carl Robinson, was talking after the game at the weekend how he loved the way the players are playing with energy, harrying and trying to stop the opportunities of the opposition, getting the ball back and then hitting them on the break. Now, what he did say about this game is a quote. He said he wants to look at the players and see where they are after the weekend. He said, then we'll have to put our crash helmets on, park the bus and do all the things you have to do with the good teams. Now, if he's genuinely considering doing that, it'll be a pretty drab game, because United can't really make a game at the moment. So if MK Dons decide to park the bus and, you know, and stop them playing and just harry them and, you know, and chase them and try and hit them on the break, then, you know, I can't see it being the best game in the world. But this has got to be a golden opportunity for Manchester United to give the existing players some confidence. I don't see why, Dave, you would rest the players who've been playing and bring in other players to give them confidence. It's a brilliant opportunity. You're playing a team two divisions below you, who you should win against every day of the week. I think he'll play a fairly strong team, because he has to give these players some confidence. The risk is that you don't play particularly well and your confidence gets further dented. But that's not the way Louis van Gaal thinks, surely. You know, he's obviously a confident man. I think it'll be a strong Manchester United team. Van Persie has to play to get some more match fitness, surely. I mean, why play Hernandez? I wouldn't see the point in that. This might be another opportunity to win a trophy. They're not going to win the Premier League, obviously. You know, the manager said as much. I think the FA Cup and the Capital One Cup are the two competitions that they have to get stuck into. And I think he'll be using every game he can possibly use to try and find some confidence and some impetus from somewhere for Manchester United. So I see United winning this, but I think it'll be closer than the odds suggest. And like you say, 2-5 is a shocking price, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You can't, as you've just mentioned, I don't think you can back the 2-5. I just think it's too short. I'm looking at the goals expectation here, Lee, and I think the compilers have maybe overestimated Manchester United's firepower. The way they are performing, and given what you've mentioned about the MK Dons and how they are likely to set up in this game, under 2.5 goals is 13-8 here. Over 2.5 goals is 4-9. I think that's very short. Over 2.5 goals at 4-9.
Very, yeah. And you'd be tempted to go the other way, wouldn't you? Especially,
definitely tempted.
Especially if they do set up that way. And you know, we've got to trust what we've got so far as we preview this, and you've got to trust what the manager's said. So you know, I think yeah, you go with that. One bet that I do like, and based on the idea that they will set up to frustrate Manchester United, but the fact that they also do score goals themselves is, and I'm kind of trusting Man United to win this game, which seems daft even suggesting that they don't win the game. But I like Manchester United to come from behind and win. It's 6-1.
Okay.
Now, that's a massive price in terms of, if you were playing that in play, there wouldn't be 6-1 unless obviously MK Dons scored in, like, you know, something like the 80th minute or something.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't get anywhere near that price. You know, the crowd's going to be huge, I think, for this one. You know, they were talking, I was reading a piece from the I think it's the Supporters Club president, you know, and the demand for tickets, despite the malaise that Man United are in, has been phenomenal from the MK Dons fans. So, yeah, they're expecting a huge crowd, probably a sellout crowd for this one. So that, you know, that'll give the MK Dons players a bit of a boost. And I can see them getting a goal, but Man United somehow scraping it out. I mean, such is my lack of confidence in Man U, though, is that my first look was Man United to come from behind and win or draw.
Yes.
Like, you should just go for the win, shouldn't you, at 6-1? The come from behind and win or draw is 15-4, which obviously is a lot safer. But Man United, I mean, we don't even see them at this level of the competition normally, do we?
I don't think it is daft to suggest that Manchester United won't win this game. I think looking at this logically, They aren't a betting proposition at 2-5, given the performances we've seen in the Premier League so far. Admittedly,
there is a big step down.
Massive drop in class.
It is a big step down, isn't it? And you've got to take that into consideration. You've got to take into consideration that there's no way that Van Gaal will let them take it easy in this game.
No.
No chance. I can't see that at all. There's no way whether he cares about winning the Capital One Cup or not, he'll still want them up and at it, and you know, and trying to win the game. You know, Mourinho won this in his, you know, when he was at Chelsea, didn't he? And you know, obviously Pellegrini as well. So you know, he'll know about that. He'll know that this is a competition that they can win, and it's silverware. And you know, he'll want silverware as a manager. But I do think, like I say, I mean, you look at the MK Dons' home form so far. They scored 4 against Gillingham in the first League One match of the season. Scored 3 against Wimbledon, as you've already mentioned, in the League Cup. They scored 2 at Peterborough and 1 at Chesterfield. The last home game was the only game that they haven't scored, and yeah, I think they probably should have should have scored in that one as well against Coventry. So they've got goals in them from all over the place. So yeah, I'm going to go with that. I mean, I know it's a bit of a, you know, an outlandish bet, if you like. It's a bit different, but I basically think Man United will win, but I don't like the outright price. I'm trying to find a way of backing them, you know, without, you know, by getting some value. And that market that I've put up, Man United to come from behind and win, is more or less the same price as MK Dons to win. You know, so 7-1, isn't it, MK Dons?
Yes.
So MK Dons 7-1 to win. Man United to come from behind and win is 6-1. Other ways in, I suppose, would be, you know, if you fancy Man United to win but only scrape it, would be to take MK Dons +2 on the handicap, so you can afford for them to win, draw or lose. But it's odds on. You know, it's 7-10. Not my sort of price to be backing a handicap bet on, really, to be honest. So yeah, that's pretty much where I am with it. Fancy Man United, but hate the price. So that's what I'd be playing.
If you're looking for that market, by the way, click on the match MK Dons versus Manchester United. Have a look at the other markets tab. 19 markets in there at time of recording for Man United to come from behind and win the game in the betting at 6-1. Let's have a look at Brentford versus Fulham. Tuesday, 7:45 PM kickoff. Brentford 23-20. The draw 12-5. Fulham in the betting at 23-10. Championship versus Championship here, Lee. Fulham have been dismal this season. Only scored 2 goals all year. Lost all 4 matches. René Meulensteen clinging onto the job at Fulham. He might not have long left. Brentford have had a solid, if unspectacular, start to the season. They've picked up 5 points from their opening four fixtures, and they rescued a point late on at home against Birmingham at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, just a quick one on this one, really. I mean, obviously, it's we tend to do the top flight games, which is one of those that, you know, it stares you in the face that Fulham are obviously, as you say, in all sorts of trouble. I'd just be looking at goals in this game. Brentford have quieted down a little bit, but one of the ties of the round in the first round of League Cup games was their game against Dagenham and Redbridge, 6-6, and Brentford won it on penalties. They scored after the 5th, 9th minutes. Then it went 2-1, 3-2, then it went 3-3, 4-3, 4-4, then into extra time, and there were 4 more goals in extra time. I watched the first game, Brentford versus Charlton, on in-play radio, and Brentford are a really attacking side. Since then, they haven't really scored that many goals. They beat Blackpool 2-1 and only drew 1-1 with Birmingham at the weekend. But, you know, Fulham, I mean, people were saying to me before the weekend, you know, Fulham could go down. People who, you know, who we work with, who watch the Championship, who've seen them. Now, They lost the first 3 games in the Championship, conceding 4 goals and only scoring 1. And then they lost 5-1 to Derby at the weekend.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not saying they will lose heavily to Brentford, but given the fact that Brentford like to attack, you know, and they will attack this one, it'll be a decent crowd this one. You know, obviously, you know, not too much distance between the two sides. I think Brentford would love to get one over on Fulham. I'm looking at goals. Traditionally, this night in the League Cup has lots of goals in it. You're talking about nearly, you can get getting on for 100 goals across the evening. So I like over 3.5 goals in this at 2-1. I wouldn't even put anyone off over 4.5 at 9-2. I'm not sure about the result. You'd want to back Brentford, but 23-20 is no price at all against, you know, a team who have got such quality in the ranks. But as you say, you know, the manager, if they lose this, the manager could go. But all about the goals for me in this one. So, you know, I know it's not the greatest price in the world, over 3.5 at 2-1, but I think it'll land. They won't be defending Fulham. The heads are gone, and Brentford will just go for the jugular, I think.
And you could play a match result and 4 or more goals in the match for, yep, Brentford to win with 4 or more goals. That's in the betting at 5-1 as well. Let's have a look at the matches involving the Premier League sides then, starting with Newcastle. They travel to Gillingham on Tuesday night. Gillingham 11-2, the draw 16-5, Newcastle in the betting at 1-2. Gillingham, they are 18th in League One. This looks like a real opportunity for Newcastle to get a few goals here. Mm. Barnsley hammered them 4-1 at the weekend. They conceded 4 against the MK Dons on the opening day of the season as well. They're a bit more solid at home, Lee, but they did still concede 2 against Swindon. As far as Newcastle are concerned, Seam Diong came on as substitute at the weekend. He will probably play in this game, I imagine. Yeah. I've been speaking to a few Newcastle fans. They reckon that he's lacking a little bit of match fitness. It seems an ideal opportunity to give him not only a start here, but an opportunity as well to really build some confidence ahead of a big, busy Premier League season.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be very surprised. I mean, like you say, lacking a bit of match fitness, but still nearly scored at the weekend, didn't he? He got one-on-one with the keeper, albeit in a tight situation, and looked gutted to have missed it. I think he'll get goals. I think he'll get double-figure goals for the season for Newcastle. I expect him to play. I mean, it's interesting to see who he will go with, because there's a few different choices up front. He might play Riviere again just to give him some more confidence, because, you know, yet to get off the mark. Newcastle haven't scored a goal yet, of course. He's also got Ayoze Perez or Chucky Ferreira, who's the Argentinian youngster who scored for the reserves last week. He scored a lot of goals back home season before last, and scored a fair few in Ukraine last season as well. So it'd be interesting to see if Ferreira plays. There's also a young player called Rolando Ahrens, who is a winger. The Newcastle fans absolutely love him. They're crying out for him to get a start in the Premier League. I think he's made a substitute appearance already. Played about 15 minutes. But if he plays, he might be worth a look on the goal scorers. Doesn't score loads of goals, but against, you know, a lower level opposition, I think he could get a chance. I have got a good goal scorer bet that I really like, that I'll come to in a second. But on Gillingham, you mentioned beating 4-1 at Barnsley on Saturday. They've got a few injury problems as well since that game. If you're looking for Gillingham to get on the score sheet, Danny Kedwell would probably be your best bet. 4-4 so far for them. But in the five games that Gillingham have played so far this season, 20 goals. So again, another high scorer, I think.
Yeah.
Newcastle are desperate to get off the mark because they haven't hit the back of the net yet. And I think, you know, that'll be the word from Alan Pardew. Whereas they went to Aston Villa and pretty much, you know, tried to shut up shop and get a point. I think they'll need to win this one. Remember that, you know, one win in 10 games now, the run is, with that draw at the weekend. They need a win. They need some confidence from somewhere. They've got a great second round record when they've been at this level of the League Cup. Last year, they played Morecambe. It was a really hard game for them. They won it when both the Amiobis scored on 85 and 90 minutes, but they were struggling up until that point. In 2011-2012, they beat Scunthorpe United at Glanford Park 2-1 after extra time. In 2010-11, Accrington Stanley were beaten 3-2. 2009-10, Huddersfield took them to extra time. They won 4-3 at St James's Park. 2008-2009, extra time against Coventry, 3-2 again. 2007-2008, it was a laboured 2-0 win over Barnsley as well. So they don't have much luck at this level. So again, if you're looking for goals, I wouldn't put anyone off. Gillingham, as I said, have, you know, scored and conceded plenty. My goal scorer bet in this one, though, is Jan Maat, and incidentally, one of our friends on Twitter and one of the regular punt listeners, Ian Forster, I think it's Ian_NUFC, wants us to do a pronunciation guide for Jan Maat. So we'll look at that on Friday. But three shots, one on target versus Villa. He led the whole game in terms of shots and shots on target. He beat more players than anyone else. And I you know, when you look at a price and you think, I bet they've got to him. I bet they know. Do you know, 7-1 anytime. Yeah, my eyes nearly popped out of my head. I couldn't believe that. If he plays, he was great at the World Cup. He constantly hearing his name in the commentary. I know that because I kept thinking they were saying young man, you know, like in the YMCA, Jan Maat. The commentator kept saying it all the time. He loves bombing on down the wing. And if he plays, I think he'll get chances. I think he'll make chances. 7-1. I was staggered by it. I thought it'd be like 100-30 or something.
Yeah, the 7-1.
Love that. That's probably my favourite bet of the midweek.
Good stuff. And speaking of Friday's podcast, Lee, we will talk about the Naps on Friday, and we're coming to Southampton next, away at Millwall. We'll save that till Friday.
Yeah, I mean, it's little point in talking about league tables at this time.
No,
you
can't, can you?
No, no.
Millwall 11-4, the draw 12-5, Southampton in the betting at even monies. Don't worry though, listeners, I will mention this again on Friday. Southampton even money to win at Millwall. Decent start to the season for Millwall. Bit of a surprise, Lee. They were beaten by Championship new boys Rotherham at the weekend. They hadn't been beaten in the Championship since March. Prior to that game, they've been quite solid defensively, Millwall, as well. Ian Holloway came out after that match and said that his strikers in particular looked a little tired, which is a concern, and he was critical of his own management, saying that he should have freshened things up more quickly at the weekend. That little nagging concern that at this stage of the season, already Holloway questioning maybe the fitness of his players, saying
strange,
they were a little bit lethargic at the weekend. You don't want to hear that this early on in a campaign.
No, I thought there was, but most of his comments are strange, aren't they, to be fair? So you shouldn't ever be surprised by anything.
He's fantastic,
that
isn't he?
Says.
Good value.
Yeah, he is good value. Yeah, I mean, we're hearing that he will obviously make changes for this game then, Holloway. Justin Hoyt and Richard Chaplow both fit after hamstring injuries. They could be added to the squad. Lee Gregory set for a start in attack. He was a summer signing. And then there's a few youngsters as well. Jack Powell, Aidan O'Brien, John Marquis, and Fred Onyedi and Jake Goodman all set to come into the side as well. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players. If he makes 8 changes, I think that even money will be cut, because I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't think the Southampton boss is going to make that many changes. Ronald Koeman seems to be implying that he's going to go with a very similar team and try and get some form or some confidence in his side. They looked good against Liverpool, but then Liverpool made the game and didn't seem to be able to do anything with West Brom. I thought they'd be much more attacking than they were.
Poor match, that.
Yeah, it was pretty poor, wasn't it? And one player I do like, and I liked him after the Liverpool game, and I liked him again after the West Brom game, is Tadic. He had most shots in that West Brom game in the match. Two of the three were on target as well. He's going to score soon. I'd be on him to score more than I'd be on Pelé to score, who's the centre forward. Tadic is 7-4 to score in this game, which I think is a really nice price. Our friend Pete Farris, DK, who does the league podcast, the championship version of the league podcast.
Yes.
He has lots of interesting theories, doesn't he, on life?
He does have a lot of interesting
theories.
There's
one that I actually like, though. And
okay.
It's called socks up syndrome.
Yes.
Have you heard about this before?
I've heard about He's explained socks up syndrome to me about 50 times.
Right, okay, you do know that. Well, if anyone who doesn't know about Pete Farris' socks up syndrome, it's trademarked, I believe. This is when a team goes on a long unbeaten run or a long winning run. When they lose the first time in that long unbeaten run, they don't immediately bounce back.
I don't get what the socks up. It makes it sound like they do immediately bounce back because they're pulling the socks back up.
I know. I've got no idea what he means by socks up syndrome, but that's the name he's given it, so I'm going to stick with it. So the idea is that for some reason, we see this a lot, that psychologically, once you've lost that winning impetus, it's hard to then just regain it immediately afterwards. You tend to hit a bit of a lull, and it's hard to bounce back, especially when you're going to make, if you're going to make anywhere between 6 and 8 changes, so. I'm going to go with that. I think even money's a good price for Southampton. I think Millwall will come out and have a go at them. They won't sit back. I think Southampton are more suited to be a counter-attacking team at the moment rather than making a game. So I like Southampton to win at even money, but I probably like Tadic to score at 7-4 a little bit more.
Yeah, backwards. I think you described that, Pete Farris, particular.
Socks down syndrome.
Socks down syndrome, I think, yeah. I think there needs to be a new name there. You can come up with those on Twitter. Either send them to myself or Lee at DK.
Or Pete Farris.
Or at Lee Phelps. Yeah, in particular.
Pete won't listen to this, so no. Send them to @Pete_Farris and he won't have a clue what's going on.
Precisely, which is even more fun, and no one will tell him either. Walsall Crystal Palace next on Tuesday night. Last of the Tuesday games we're looking at. Walsall 12-5, the draw 11-5, Crystal Palace in the betting at 6-5. Walsall are 20th in League One, did get a good point at Leyton Orient at the weekend. Crystal Palace desperately need to resolve this managerial situation. As a quick aside, Neil Lennon now favourite for the job here with William Hill at time of recording. Tony Pulis was as short as 4-1 to go back. He's now out to 8-1. They were beaten 3-1 by West Ham at the weekend. The Hammers fully deserved that victory. Watched that game in the studio. They were on top from the outset. Crystal Palace, horrible situation for them. They were as big as 9-1 pre-season to finish bottom of the Premier League. You won't get that now.
No, you won't at all. I've been opposing them since the start of the season. I didn't like them. Even before Pulis went, I didn't like them at all. And now, since everything else has happened, then they look devoid of any leadership whatsoever. And it's interesting. I think we were talking on Friday ahead of the Premier League game about, you know, players often come out and say, oh, yeah, don't bother us. It's nothing to do with us. Well, the assistant manager, Keith Millen's, actually come out and said, yeah, it did affect the players this week. So that's a worry. There's no way they will have recovered from that week after being beaten by West Ham. I said how important losing Scott Dan would be from the defence. Now Joe Ledley looks like he'll be missing as well. Millen said, and I quote, "We've got a good squad. There are players that need to play, so we'll make some changes and hopefully get a result." I mean, there's a few things in that quote. We've got a good squad. Yeah, debatable. There are players that need to play. Okay, that's obvious. That means he's going to make changes.
Yep.
And hopefully get a result. I mean, it's not like he's kind of, you know, banging the drum and sounding the, you know, blowing the trumpet and getting his troops going, is it? Hopefully we'll get a result. I mean, Walsall...
You almost got your metaphors mixed up there, Lee.
I'm just aghast at the quote.
Yeah, everything was coming together there. Musical metaphors that were colliding.
Banging trumpets and blowing drums.
He's not doing either, is he?
He's not going to do anything. He's going to be crossing his I's and dotting his T's, I think, as well. I mean, if you can't beat Walsall... who, like you say, in the lower reaches of League One after the opening to the season. Now, Walsall aren't a bad side, you know, a terrible side, but they've got a terrible run of form at home. Only one win in 13 games spanning the summer. Now, the thing that's most... there's a few draws in there, to be fair to them, but they've only scored 8 goals at home at the best Scott in that run of 13 games. So, you know, that's very few goals. Looking for a striker, haven't brought one in. You know, they do keep it tight, though, and that's how I expect them to shape up here. I don't think it'll be a particularly great game, this one. Palace obviously struggle to score goals. We've said that time and time again. But I do think they'll get the better of Walsall here. They have to. I mean, you know, this is a mediocre Walsall team with, you know, two divisions separating the teams, effectively. Shamak's obviously, a likely scorer if he plays. But looking for value, I'd probably creep down the order a little bit. Hangeland's already made his scoring debut for Palace, and 11-2 anytime. I like that. When Walsall's most recent defeat, when they lost to Yeovil, there were two crosses into the box that cost them there. Hayter scored from a header, and Dawson scored from a kind of running at the far post to slot it in. But they seemed to struggle with the ball across the box. I mean, the keeper's had a nightmare as well in one of the games. I think it was in the first game of the season against Port Vale when he conceded a goal to when Tom Pope scored, and the keeper made an absolute hash of that. So, and that was from a cross as well. So I think, you know, if Palace can, you know, get the game going and actually get the ball delivered into the box, a few set pieces, then Hangeland 11-2 anytime looks a decent bet against League One opposition. He's great in the air at set pieces, and he'll just bully them, I think. So that's probably, I mean, I don't really, they're odds against Palace, aren't they? So it's, you know, it's a Premier League team at odds against a League One side who are struggling for their lives. But I'm not sure I'm confident enough, DK, really. So, Hangeland to score at any time, 11-2, it might be better.
6-5 Palace are to win at Walsall, 12-5. They draw 11-5. Speaking of blowing drums and banging trumpets, there's not much inspiration coming from Dave Hockaday and Leeds United at the moment. So let's get on to Wednesday night's matches and start off with that live game. Local derby, Bradford 17-10, the draw 21-10, Leeds in the betting at 7-4. A lot of the people in the local press, the Yorkshire Evening Post in particular, their reporter, whose name momentarily escapes me, he was convinced that Dave Hockaday was gone after the weekend's result against Watford. It seems as though Massimo Cellino had a U-turn there, Lee, and decided we'll give this guy a stay of execution for now, but this could be the final nail in his coffin, as it were, if he was to lose against Bradford at the midweek. Bradford 17-10, the draw 21-10, lead 7-4, Lee.
Yeah, who knows what's going on with Leeds? I mean, it's just a mess, isn't it? And disciplinary, you know, problems as well. You know, three sendings off already in five games. It's just not good enough, is it? You know, it's stupid, really, to be doing that. You know, getting yourself sent off. I know they were losing heavily to Watford. I mean, Watford even scored their goal for them, didn't they? It was an own goal, the Leeds goal, in the 4-1 defeat. So, you know, it's not great, obviously. And you know, we're based in Leeds, so we're surrounded by Leeds United fans, and you know, they're not particularly chuffed. They beat Accrington 2-1 in the first round to get this far. Bradford have got cup pedigree in recent years, of course, and started all right this season as well. 3-2 win over Coventry, they beat Morecambe away from home, 0-0 draw with Walsall, beat Crawley 3-1. So, you know, going along quite nicely. Yeah, lost the last game to Peterborough by a single goal to nil at home, so that was a bit of a dent for them to their unbeaten start to the season. I'd go with Bradford, to be fair, just because I don't think you can trust Leeds United. You know, 17-10 Bradford, Leeds are 7-4. You know, I don't think many of the players would really get up for it in the way that the Bradford players might. You know, I think that as the lower league team, they'll probably have more of a point to prove. I'm not sure many of the Leeds players who are there at the minute would register that how much of a local derby this is. And obviously the Bradford fans will be well up for this, won't they? You know, I think it'll be a tasty game to go to be fair.
Definitely.
In terms of goal scorers, James Hansen's 17-10 to score in this match. You know, the way Leeds defend, I can see him getting on the score sheet. Scored in the 3-1 win at Crawley, scored 2 in the 3-2 win against Coventry, and I think that price, I'd rather back him at 17-10 than Bradford to win it at 17-10, put it that way. So again, you know, I like Bradford, but I'd probably go with Hansen as a goal scorer rather than picking an outright in this one.
Yeah, if you've not seen or heard the quotes from Cellino after that game, there's a piece on the Yorkshire Evening Post site and on the Daily Mail site. Some of his quotes are outrageous, ridiculous. He's a character. We need more Massimo Cellinos in the game of football.
Well, they should do like a head-to-head, him and Holloway.
Yeah, no, that would be good.
That'd be great,
would be
it?
Very, very
like
good.
That.
And he doesn't Mince's word. He uses agricultural language as well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does, doesn't he? You're not the sort of guy who's going to appear on Five Live anytime soon.
No, no.
On a live, you know, live phone or anything.
You would be worried about what he was going to say if you had those legal ramifications, I think.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at Birmingham versus Sunderland next. Birmingham 5-2, the draw 9-4. Sunderland in the betting at 23-20. Birmingham looked okay in the Championship since that opening their defeat against Middlesbrough. They beat Brighton, got points against Ipswich and Brentford as well. Sunderland, Lee, don't have that much quality, I don't think, anyway, but they're well drilled. A couple of solid centre halves in Wes Brown and John O'Shea, decent keeper as well in Fraser Forster. It's ironic, isn't it? They played Manchester United at the weekend, had John O'Shea and Wes Brown playing at centre half. I think Manchester United might have had one or two of those,
yeah,
maybe.
True, yeah.
They could, Wes Brown might have got a start anyway, at the very least.
Yeah, I hadn't thought that. It's a fair point, actually. Yeah, looking at what they've got now. Who would have thought that 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously last year's finalists, Sunderland, so you know, I don't think there'll be any doubt about the manager weakening down too much here. You know, I always like to try and get an angle on how much the manager's going to weaken down. And obviously we're concentrating on the Premier League teams who are away from home on this podcast, but there's a load more games of where Premier League teams are at home,
yeah,
and they might be more likely to weaken down. So I think, you know, just as a general rule, probably not tell anything they don't know, but here, but really try and get an angle on some of the local news reports. You can find out that, you know, a manager's making 8 or 9 changes. But like I said, I think Sunderland will go strong here. Again, another chance for the players to bed in. And you know, listening to what Poirier was saying after the match against Man United, he was pretty upbeat about the fact that they're generally settling in. I think Rodwell's a really good addition, DK. I know what you mean about not that much quality. The likes of Connor Wickham, I'm not sure he's really, you know, a Premier League level striker. And he's surrounded by quite a lot of players who are maybe just on the cusp of Premier League, but could, you know, a really more like very good Championship players, I suppose.
Yeah, well,
and that's where I put Wickham, you know.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying about Rodwell, and he's a guy with a lot of ability. But you look through that Sunderland side, and as a neutral, when you think about them playing football going forward, and you every team's got one where you think, oh, a guy gets in, you think he can really do something. I expect him to create. Sunderland haven't got one of those sort of players.
Well, they might have one. And there's a guy who I'm going to put up to score a goal, and that's Seb Larsson. He obviously going back to his old stomping ground, used in a more central role these days. And, you know, interesting reading a piece Poyo was talking about him and the position he wants him to play. And he talked about him being the best player at the club in terms of fitness as well as his ability. And now there's a couple of question marks over the Blues' stamina and concentration in recent games. Birmingham have let in late goals in the last two. So I think Seb Larsson, you know, I think he is a step above. I think he can play Premier League football and has done for a long time, of course. So I like him to score any time at 100-30.
Yep.
I like the way he breaks from midfield anyway. And I think if Birmingham do have any stamina or concentration problems as the game progresses, I think he might be the sort of guy who can profit from that. Again, you know, I think there'll be goals in this one. There haven't been too many goals in Sunderland's game so far. But Birmingham, you know, 2-2 draw with Ipswich. It was 3-1 after extra time against Cambridge in the last round of the Cup. They lost 2-0 to Middlesbrough, so conceding goals. I don't know how many goals Birmingham have got in them against a well-organised Sunderland team. But I think the over 2.5 was 10-11 when I last checked it, which I thought was a fair price. 10-11, which I thought was fair. You know, like I say, on a night when traditionally a lot of goals are scored, I think I'd play the 10-11, and I like Larsson anytime at 100-30. Van Aanholt is another one, actually, who I thought looked good. He was marauding a bit against Man United, and I think if Birmingham have any weaknesses and he can exploit them, he might be worth a look as a goal scorer. But that's a bit outlandish. I'll stick with Larsson at 100-30.
We finish off, Lee, with again, that a lot of people might think this could be the one, this could be a shock, this one. Burton QPR on Wednesday night, 7:45 PM kickoff as well. Burton 7-2, the draw 12-5. QPR in the market at 17-20. Burton, fourth in League Two. They beat Wigan 2-1 at the Pirelli in the opening round of the competition. QPR have been poor this season, undoubtedly. They've not scored in the Premier League yet. And they were beaten 4-0 by Spurs at the weekend. This is the one, I think, where you think, home side shock here.
It wouldn't be a big stretch of the imagination, would it? Two divisions separating them, but as you kind of just alluded to, Burton are confident. The scoring goals scored in every game so far, 1-4 and drawn 1. Now, the fact that there's so many places between them in the league ladder is a bit of a worry. But I generally like a team who are confident from a lower division against a team lacking confidence in the top division. I think you're always onto something there in terms of a bet. You know that the lower league team are really going to go at it. QPR kind of lacked skill and passion, I thought, versus Tottenham. Tottenham were good, obviously, but they look very lacklustre, I thought. Now, when you look at Burton team, they were the last game they played, there was a 1-1 draw at Newport, and the manager made it quite clear that he thought that their first half performance was poor, and he said they lacked kind of get up and go, and they seemed a bit drab, if you like. But in the second half, they came out and played really, really well, and he made a point of saying to the local reporters that his team is very, very fit and they get stronger as the game progresses. And he was pleased, at least, that they'd done that. They'd come out after the half-time break and they'd got better and better and better, and he thought they should have maybe nicked it in the end. Now, if that's the case, if QPR have got any malaise about them, then I think that Burton, if Burton do continue in that same way, they'll be right up for this, Burton. Playing League Two, fourth in League Two, playing this QPR team who look bereft at the minute, still to score a goal, conceded 5 already, bottom of the table. I'm going to go with Burton here to inflict more misery. Yeah. 7-2 could be a bit bigger, but I think they'll worry them. QPR, just don't see. I mean, QPR odds on, DK.
I know. Ugh. Yeah, it's. You wouldn't.
The traders are forcing you to take Burton in some form or other, aren't they?
They are. I think the general feeling with these Capital One Cup matches, though, and we see this in the Premier League every single week, punters want to be with favourites, so you can. They are artificially short because they'll be fielding all the money on QPR once again, the compilers.
But shocks do happen at this stage of the competition,
they do,
DK,
they do.
Because of the weakening down of, I mean, we can't, because this is a Wednesday night game, as we record this, I can't find any real information on what sort of team QPR are going to field. However, they are, as we record this, they're playing Cardiff in the reserves today, Monday afternoon. And now the reserve team coach has said that he's pushing for some of his under 21 lads to get into the first team. So
yep.
I mean, they're playing Monday afternoon. This game's on a Wednesday night. He's made it quite clear that Harry Redknapp was at a lot of the reserve team games last year, and he's willing to give youth a chance. So if there's any, I think if there's any inkling, and maybe even look at some of the websites, Monday night, and early Tuesday morning. If you're up early, have a look and, see what's come out of that under 21 class with Cardiff. If any of them are lined up to play in the first team in this cup match, then I'd be looking at, I'd be more confident on Burton than I am right now.
And Harry Redknapp, Lee, isn't a fool. He will know the importance of picking up Premier League points quickly.
Yeah.
And this
yes.
will definitely take a back seat, this competition, because
yeah, I think so.
they need to stay in that Premier League. And they're already, he will realise they're already in a dogfight, a relegation dogfight this season.
Yeah.
So QPR 17-20 looks short. Lee, thank you for your company.
I've got one more for you.
Go on.
One more for you. This is a cheeky one.
Okay.
I think there's a few goal scorer bets around, and I've mentioned a lot of them. I do like in the Swansea game, it won't come as any surprise, but Wilfred Boney, I think he's on the verge of scoring, so I like him. But I also like Gylfi Sigurdsson to score if he plays in that match. But this is the bet that I really like. You might remember this, DK, from the last two seasons. I've already mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast, but this is one of my favourite nights of the year because of the goals. 89 goals were scored on the Tuesday night last season.
Right.
And I can't remember the figures from the season before that, but it's in the 80s or high 70s. Very, very high scoring night of football. I mean, last season, there was a 5-2. Leicester beat Carlisle 5-2. There was a 5-1 when Southampton beat Barnsley. Norwich beat Bury 6-3. Derby beat Brentford 5-0. It was 6-0 to Peterborough against Reading, and so on and so forth. Now, it's a 20-team over 1.5 ACCA.
Okay.
Comes out around 34-1, which is significantly shorter than it was last year, I remember.
Right.
I think two seasons ago, I placed the bet and it was 80-1. I had a quid on, and we had a really, really fun night on Twitter as the goals kept flying in. It's been let down. That ACCA, that full Tuesday night ACCA,
yep.
has been let down by one game in each of the last three seasons.
Ah.
So there's been one game that's been 1-0 in each of the last three seasons. Now, you might say, well, don't do it again because you're an idiot. But, you know, for a fun fiver at 34-1 and you get to watch the whole night's action, it's a bit of fun. So £5 for me on a 34-1, 20-team, over 1.5 goals ACCA on the Tuesday Carling Capital One Cup games. You know, watch those goals roll in.
Lee,
are you having
no,
that?
No, yeah.
You'll call me a mug, won't you? When that gets beat again, you'll call me a mug.
Yeah, I would do anyway. even if it comes in, it's still a mug bet.
Thanks.
But I'll enjoy tracking that one on Twitter on Tuesday night. Remember, you can listen to William Hill's In Play Radio. They'll cover all the live action on Tuesday night, with the betting being updated as the goals go in, hopefully plenty of them on Tuesday night. Lee, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
And we'll come back to the naps on Friday afternoon.
You don't have to mention them if you don't want to.
Looking forward to that already.
It's not all about the naps. It's about, you know, the rest of the games.
It is.
It's about the live TV games.
It is indeed. thank you, Lee, and we'll catch up again soon.
Cheers, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.